Nope, people are still talking. There you go. Time for us to get started this evening. I'd like to welcome everybody out to our Wednesday night Bible study. It's a great opportunity for us to come and study God's Word together. Are there any prayer requests before we get started into our class? Any prayer requests? Yes, Ms. Pat. Okay. Anyone else? Miss Lily. You said David had a real hard week at work? He will have a real hard week at work. Okay. David Correa will have a hard week at work. And remember Hope Hartwickson and Correa, her husband. Yes, our brother. Yes. And did you get the second one too? All right. Anyone else? All right. Remember our sick and also our brother, Bob, with the loss of our sister Reba. And yeah. Yes, ma'am. Missy's. Linda Brown's. Okay. Linda Brown's father is in the hospital. Missy Givens is just left to be with her brother, father, I'm sorry, he's in the hospital. And Connor. And Connor's in the hospital. He does have the flu. That was the diagnosis. So, yes, Ms. Dev. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Miss Debbie Snyder with her diabetes and her eyes not being able to see well. And that. Yes, ma'am. And she said, you hear that, Mike. Okay. Anyone else? Mike, if you would. All right. We're going to be talking about the shield of faith this evening. Of course, little closer. I'd like to go through a few verses before we get started to set our mind for a class. Proverbs 4:23, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We create our own problems a lot of times, so keep your heart in the right place. And that points towards the four soils that are mentioned in Luke chapter 8. And that, how do you get your mind to be the fertile soil that God talks about? Philippians 4:8 is a great example of what to do. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what you need to be focusing on. Those things right there. It helps elevate your thinking. And our prayer for the class. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What a beautiful thought. Remove anything that's going to hinder me from being with you. So, some thoughts about war. Give you guys a little PSA up front. I'm not advocating one way or the other. You know, I'm a big warmonger or anything like this. Just some thoughts to set our minds on what people think about war. War is a poor choices for carving out peaceful tomorrows. That's from Martin Luther King. I'm going to move back to my laptop so I can see it a little better. The second one, be at war with your vices, at peace with your neighbors, and let every new year find you a better man, from Ben Franklin. To be prepared for war is one of the most effective means of preserving peace, George Washington. The soldier above all others prays for peace, for it is the soldier who must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war. Douglas MacArthur. And those of you who've been in the military, you know you have to spend a little time getting your mind right for what you might have to do. Especially you guys who are war fighters, as they say, the person who's actually going to go out and engage the enemy. It is a mindset. It truly is a mindset that you have to understand that you're going to go out and face the enemy. Whether a person agrees or disagrees with the concept of war, it's just the reality of life. That's where we are. It is a reality of life. Again, not advocating anything politically. I just want to use this quote to point our minds towards something else. I'm going to modify this quote a little bit. The Cold War isn't thawing. It is burning with a deadly heat. Communism isn't sleeping. It is always plotting, scheming, working, fighting. That's from Richard Nixon. Just to change it a little bit. The spiritual war isn't thawing. It is burning with a deadly heat. Satan isn't sleeping. He is and always plotting, scheming, working, and fighting. We must be on guard at all times. Be a sober spirit. Be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. The war that takes place, the spiritual war that takes place, is very serious. And it's personal. It's about your soul. It is about your individual soul. You can think collectively, but it's really about you as an individual and making sure that you're doing the right things and you're protected. It's a scary thought to me sometimes, the war we fight. From 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 4, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of this warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The fight we're in is not this physical war that we see all the time. You know, you can go back to those quotes at the beginning. It was about physical war. But Ben Franklin also talked about the vices that you have, the war that you have within. That's physical a lot of times. Still, you're dealing with that. But God is talking about the war for your soul. And he says that we have weapons. He has weapons too, that is Satan. So it's a real war that's taking place. There is no shorter road to defeat than by entering a war with inadequate preparation. From Lindbergh. Preparation. I thought this was very interesting from Sun Tzu. Victorious warriors win first, and then they go to war. While defeated warriors go to war first, and then seek to win. This is all about preparation. It's preparing. God has prepared us with the greatest set of armor that ever existed, that you can win this war. You can do it. You really can. It's just on us to fight. Oh, by the way, you're going to fight one way or the other, whether you want to or not. You can lay down and you've lost in at that point, but the fight's there. The fight is there, and it's real. Matter of fact, I know something physical, if you want to say, the situation that just took place in New York where they talked about, and I just said, not talking about political, but the abortion piece up there where they said, hey, once a child is born, you know, you can still abort them. That's not good. That's partly sometimes people just not understanding the value of, they don't understand the value of life. So, our armor. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of the darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded up your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With this, you can win. You can win. And again, but it's still a fight. Fights are not easy. And it's very serious. It is very, very serious because it's about your soul. And tonight we're going to talk about the shield of faith. And the points there, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So that's what we're going to cover this evening. In addition to all, if you guys remember Larry's lesson last week, you know, he covered the shoes, essentially. And he made a point in the sense of, he said that the shoes had spikes on their sandals, if you want to say, spikes on the end. So if you're pushing up against your enemy, you're not going to give ground. Well, you're not just going to be sitting there pushing up against your enemy, if you want to say, with your hands. You are going to have a shield. And all of you guys, I'm pretty sure, have seen the Roman movies and so on and so forth as they clash against one another, and then they push and push and push. And the Romans were really good at this. They were really, really good at warfare. And they had their armor down pat. And God just used, if you want to say, something that they would really understand, armor pieces. So the more you understand that, the more you would understand more of what he's talking about here. So in addition to all the things that he had pointed about earlier, it's talking about preparation. And we're getting to the point of completeness of your armor, because you know the next one is the helmet of salvation. So you're just one step away from completing your set of armor. And I can tell you one thing, as far as having your equipment, you don't want to go to war short of having your equipment. You don't want shoddy equipment either. That's not good. God has given us the perfect equipment to fight the devil. The perfect equipment. Take up. You have to pick it up. You have to pick it up. It's there for you. No one's going to carry it for you. In the Old Testament, you know, you had armor bearers. It's not the way here. You have to stand your ground. You have to be part of the team. It's not me in front of you. You have to carry yours, and I have to carry mine. We're fighting side by side. Should be fighting side by side. But you have to pick your shield up. I have my own. Again, this is very, very personal. This is an individual activity that's taking place. But we do still come together and fight collectively. The shield itself, the shield of faith. It was interesting, you know, just looking at, whenever I looked at the word there in Greek, and it points back actually to Latin. And God was very specific with the type of shield that he wanted them to have, you know, that he's referencing here. And in a sense, it's on your left, the first one. The larger shield, that's what he's referring to, not the smaller one there. So he's providing you with something to cover your vitals. So this is extra, if you want to say, in front of the armor that you actually have on. He is giving us everything, again, the perfect set of tools that we need to fight this war. And again, it's not the smaller one, it's the larger one. Then whenever you're together and you have your shield, as you can see, the tortoise formation, if you want to call it that, that's what they have when they're working together in a lot. And that's pretty sturdy there. And again, they didn't have tanks, vehicles, anything like that. So these are people on feet going against one another. Arrows, spears, javelins would not penetrate what they have here. And they could even take this and figure out a way to defeat chariots. The Romans were good at this. If you think about the concept of us as Christians working together like that, we're pretty tough. And you know where that broke down? If somebody, some kind of way, got inside of the formation. Where do we usually have our problems? From the inside. From the inside. Not necessarily always from the outside, but from the inside. And once someone gets inside of that, if they don't take care of that situation fairly quickly, that person can do some serious damage. Because you're really facing on the outside. These guys, they train this. They train for this. That's another piece with your shield. That you could get to the point where you actually could use your shield as an offensive weapon if you knew what you were doing. It was both offensive and defensive. The shield of faith. What are some examples that we read about as far as faith in the scriptures? Any examples? Abraham, Floyd. Floyd mentioned Moses' mother having faith, doing what she did as far as not obeying what Pharaoh wanted them to do. Johnny said the ark was a shield of faith for knowing his family. What's some key? One more, if you don't mind, just one more. Somebody with faith. Hebrews 11, I guess we'll just go stick with that one. Mary Magdalene. So, yes, Miss Mary. David, great example. These people, their faith was driven by, or followed up with, action. Back to that point of your shield can be both defensive and offensive, in the sense of you have to pick it up and use it. One to defend yourself and the other push your enemy off of you. You have to believe in your equipment. Yes, Ken. Ken said that one of the purposes of your shield was to allow you to move forward. And that points towards your works as a Christian, moving forward. And without your works, as they say, faith is dead. If you want to show me your faith, show me your works. So I'm moving forward. Belief in your equipment. This situation here with David. David girded up his sword over his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. So David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. And David took them off. From 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 39. Who was David going to go fight? Goliath. And during that time, you know, he's out there with all his armor on. And this young man takes the armor off. He said, I haven't tested this yet. I haven't tested it. One thing about your equipment, you have to believe it's going to work for you. You get on a helicopter nowadays, you got to believe that it's going to take you to the fight, also bring you back. Some new equipment. I remember getting new equipment and not really believing this is really good. A rucksack, as a matter of fact. Whenever you started walking, it turned this way. And if you think about it, you're carrying over close to 100 pounds worth of stuff, and you do this for 10, 15, 20 miles, that's not comfortable for your equipment to set that way. And if you still, mine tilted to the left. And this was some new stuff. And I went back to my trusty rucksack that I got from the beginning. Perfect. I trusted that equipment. And I was with it, believe it or not, with all of this. I was light infantry, which meant I walked every single place. I believed I could run or walk anywhere. Still kind of believe I can, but, you know, I guess I'm delusional in that one. But anyways, the point is I trusted my equipment. My weapon was mine. My rucksack was mine. No one could pick up my rucksack. If I picked up somebody else's and tried to put it on, I knew it was not mine. I could do it in the dark. I knew my boots. I knew everything about my equipment. And that's the purpose. In this case, David didn't trust it. You have to trust your shield of faith. You know, an interesting thing is God's armor has withstood the test of time. It's going to work until you die. Robert.
Thank you.
Robert brings up that the battle's been won. He quoted a portion from 1 Corinthians 15. What verse were you? 54 through 56. And the battle is won. It's just on us to do our portion at this point in time. Jim.
Because it's always difficult. Sometimes you have to look at it that way to get you through the smaller things to the big things.
Jim said that most people, well, I'm pretty sure, say no one really likes difficulties. But we need difficulties in our lives to test your equipment. And he quoted from Paul where he said he counts it all joy whenever, whatever situation he's in, diverse situations. If you stop and think some of the things that you've gone through, some of the adversities that you've gone through, and your mind's right, you're like, that wasn't that bad. And I'm glad I went through it because I can learn from these things. It gives you an opportunity to test your equipment. In this particular case, we're testing our shield of faith. The outcome of using your shield of faith. With which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows. You'll be able to stop whatever he's shooting at you. It's really that simple. An interesting thing about arrows, there's basically two, flaming and non-flaming, if you want to say. Flaming arrows were not accurate. The purpose of a flaming arrow was to create havoc. If you think about it, Satan's aiming with something that's not really accurate. All he's just trying to do is create some confusion a lot of times. Oh, by the way, if someone was shot with a flaming arrow, they usually went up in the flames and it scared everyone around them. Guess what they did? They broke formation. They broke formation. And your formation is so, so, so important. Yes, Johnny. All. You can extinguish all arrows. Not some, not a few, but all of them. If you're using your shield of faith. Without it, you're going to get shot. And you're the person going up in, to that point, you're the person going up in flames, messing with everyone else in your formation. That's not good. You not only owe it to yourself, but you owe it to your buddies to make sure you're participating properly. Now, I know earlier I said that it is individual, but you are part of a team, if you want to say, part of a family. You know, and I remember seeing some people not making it through basic training. And it kind of seemed harsh at the time. But if we had to go to war, I didn't want that person on my team. I was a tanker, and there was four people in the tank. I didn't want that person in the tank with me. Because all it takes is one person to mess up, and four people die. He couldn't charge his weapon, a 50 caliber. He just wasn't strong enough. And that was all shoulder to do that. And I'm glad that that will save someone's life, that guy not being there. Because transferring him to another job, that's fine. But don't let him be part of what you're doing. And that goes to you got to know your talents too. Who's shooting these arrows? the evil one. And you know what? You can stop them again. It goes back to all of them. You can extinguish every one of those flaming arrows. It is fatal to enter any war without the will to win it. You got to believe. You got to believe that you can win. You got to believe. We must keep the faith and have faith in our equipment, in our armor. One of the quickest ways to lose a fight is to not know that you're in one. That goes back to that concept of a fight's happening, whether you want it to or not. Adversity's coming. It's coming. It's just a matter of whether you're going to be prepared for it or not. And how long do we carry our shield?
For life.
Only the dead have seen the end of war. They're the only ones. Keep fighting. Keep fighting. Ensure that you have your shield at all times and the equipment before it. And as Larry, when he comes back, he'll talk about the helmet of salvation. Make sure you have that piece too. Fight, fight, fight. Can't stress that enough. Your soul's at stake. And this is a piece of equipment, actually all of it, that you have to pick up yourself and you have to wear. Any comments or questions before we close out this evening? Giving you guys back about a few minutes of class time. So,
one more comment.
Yes, Mr. Bill.
David had tested his armor.
David had tested his armor?
With the animals he had killed.
Yes. He said that he had tested his armor with the animals that he had killed. Anyone else? Thank you for your... Oh. Yes. Actually, that's very significant. What Stephen said was simply that the world believes in, or they talk about blind faith, essentially. But when it comes to God, there's evidence behind this. It's not necessarily what you're doing right now, and he used Abraham as an example whenever he had to sacrifice, or whenever God told him to go sacrifice his son. It wasn't necessarily that act, but he knew exactly other things that had taken place. Isaac himself was proof of God's power because he was old when he had him. Everything that Abraham was doing was based on some evidence of what God has done. Hence, we can even look into Hebrews chapter 11 ourselves, and there's our evidence for us. Actually, look around. That's evidence enough. And how important it is to have that faith, to really understand what faith is. And that tells you your equipment, back to that point of, how good is this equipment that we have? Oh, it's been proven time and time again. And it will continue to prove, not necessarily all, well, it will with us, but also for future generations, because they're watching what we're doing. And they're watching the way we handle our situations as we carry our shield and the other equipment. Jim. Jim said, the more you use your equipment, the better you become. You get it using it. Back to that point of, you know, whenever, you know, I had my equipment, if you want to say, I knew every piece. I customized it for me. My helmet fit a certain way. If I put your helmet on, I knew it wasn't mine. And the more I used it, the more confident I had, more confidence I had in my equipment. Over and over, and the more, I just can't stress it enough, I had to use it in order for me to develop confidence. And it was interesting to see people who were not, as they say, war fighters come out and have their equipment on. It was, you could tell they really didn't trust it, helmets crooked, you know, they just looked like they didn't know anything about the fight when the fight is real. Johnny. Johnny uses the example of firefighters with their equipment, how it's always lined up to be exactly where it should be, and they don't have to fumble around or anything like that. They know exactly what they're doing, and that comes from training. Back to even what Jim was saying, you have to use your shield or your equipment, and you have to train with it. You have to train with it. This is training, if you want to say, to a certain degree. And it helps you whenever you get out there and you actually have to start fighting. Anyone else? Yes, Robert. Robert used Romans chapter 1, where it talks about the evidence of the things around us. It should just scream at us about how faithful we should be, because it is a testimony to who God is. And it's kind of hard to deny those things. I've been closing for the last 5 minutes. But you know what? Knock yourself out. You know, appreciate the comments. There's not anything else. We'll go ahead and close. Thank you for your time.
Good evening. Good evening. Hope everybody's having a good week and you enjoyed your Bible study classes. Before I do the Devo, I just want to remind all the men that there's a Carolina Fellowship, which will be held in South Carolina on March 9th. The theme is Today's Effect on Tomorrow. There's information on the men's board if you are interested in attending that event. Tonight I'd like to talk to you about why it's great to be a Christian. I'm thankful that when I accepted Christ, according to the scriptures, Acts 2:47, God, he added me to his family, to his church. And there's so many blessings to being a part of God's family. First, Jesus is head of the church, and we know what he did for us. He died for us. And part of that family, we can be encouraged. We can worship together, worship in truth, and know that we have the truth based on what is written. And, if in that fellowship, we encourage to use the spiritual weapons that Leslie talked about today, that, we know that when we get caught into things, we can use that shield of faith. We can have our feet fitted firm based on the word, the helmet of salvation, knowing that we're going to go to heaven based off of what is truth, and encourage each other to get there. We can pray for each other. We get sick or our hearts are, in pain or going through some things. We all do. We can pray for each other. And not just that, but encourage each other when we're going through challenges when our faith is weak, to draw near to God and to resist the devil and to draw near to God. We can encourage each other based off of what is written. But sometimes the evil one tries to get us to steer away from, the value of being a Christian and the joy that we have in being a Christian. And sometimes what's important to us can kind of get off a little bit. And so we have to reflect and say, what's the dominating value in our life? What is the dominating value in our life as we go through our Christian walk? Is it our career? Is it our hobby? Is it some bucket list that we have? It's okay to have those things, career to do your best. God wants excellence. And it's okay to have a hobby. It's okay to have a bucket list of things you want to do. But what's important is that we never, ever forget Christ and who we belong to, which is God. And within that, I think in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, if you want to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, it helps us remember who we belong to in Christ as we live our lives and we enjoy the blessings of being a Christian. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So I don't belong to me anymore as a Christian. I belong to God, and you don't belong to you anymore. You belong to Christ. And so we have to carry that in our hearts as we live our Christian walk. I also like to reflect on Paul. You know, he said, if I was bound or abased, I'm content. You know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I said, what gives him that strength? Well, I reflect back on the death of Christ and what he did. Everything that Christ had to go through to win our hearts so that we can be devoted to him. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 2:2. Let's see what Paul is encouraging the Corinthian church to do. We know the Corinthians were a pagan nation and they did a lot of things not correct. But he was constantly encouraging them, constantly encouraging them. And so when you read 1 Corinthians 2:2, it says, "For I am determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." So what was always on Paul's heart was Jesus Christ and his crucifixion and what that means to him and what it means to us. And so as we carry that, I think it strengthens us, you know, along with the tools that we're talking about today, the equipment that Leslie talked about today, that's the spiritual weapons that we have. We got to carry that death of Christ so that when we are attacked, we can reflect back on those. And as a Christian family, we do those things together, right? And when we look at the death of Christ, when we go to Isaiah 53:3-5, oftentimes, you know, we hear this, you know, before the Lord's Supper, kind of get our minds prepared to reflect on what Christ did. So if you turn your Bibles, Isaiah 53:3-5, we kind of see what he did, the suffering that he went through. So he's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow, and acquainted with grief. And he hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he was born our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. So it's by his stripes, by his suffering, is how we are healed. And I think Paul, he carried the death of Christ in his heart. And he wanted to teach Jesus and teach him crucified because that's what life was about. All the things, all the cares of the world was not that important to him. When he had a lot or when he had less, he was content. And I think as Christians, as we are blessed, as we live our Christian walk, as we reflect on the death of Christ, it can strengthen us also. When we're in our hard times and we're in our good times. So again, I look back at this example a little bit deeper and look at, you know, what Jesus went through, the lengths that he went through to win our hearts, so that we can have that deep, meaningful relationship with him through the scriptures so that we can live a really good quality life. So I look at the love of Christ and how and why he died for us. Well, we were not in a really good spiritual condition. If you read Romans 5:8, Jesus was gracious in his love. He was committed in his love. And he was forgiving in his love. Romans 5:8 says, while we're still sinners, he died for us. He died for us while we're still sinners. Right? And he died for us because he wanted us to be at one with God. Atonement, at one. He wanted us to be at one with God so that we can be righteous in our walk, righteous as he is, and have that awesome one-on-one relationship with God through him. So if you turn your Bibles to 1 John 2. So I don't have an electronic Bible, so 1 John 2:1-2, it says, "My little children, these things are written to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Jesus is our advocate for the Father. Sometimes we're going to make mistakes, but we know that we have Christ that we can repent to, we can walk in the light, and we can have our sins forgiven because sometimes we're going to make mistakes. So Jesus is our advocate. Verse 2, "And he himself is our propitiation for our sins, and not for ours alone, but also for the whole world." So Jesus paid for our sins. That death, that blood that we talk about every Lord's Day, that paid for our sins. It paid for our iniquities. It paid for what separates us from Christ, sin. And he paid that because he wanted us to be at one with his Father, right? And so he also gives us an example of obedience. He died for us because he wanted to obey his Father, God, and he wants us to obey God also. And if you turn your Bibles to Hebrews 5, 7 and 9, Hebrews 5, verses 7 through 9, we can look at his obedience, and we can learn from that obedience, and we can apply that to our walk so that we can be faithful too. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He cried and he asked God, God, is there another way? Not my will, but your will, right? God said no. But he did it anyway because he wanted to obey God, and he loves us. He loves us. And with fear. And so I think that's what's going to also strengthen our relationship with God as we love him, but also have a healthy concept of fear of him also. When we fear God, that's what? The beginning of wisdom, right? According to Proverbs. And then we can have this great Christian walk as we fear God, as we love him, and we follow Jesus' example. And then we have to also remember he loved us and suffered for us because he wanted to pay the ransom. A ransom is a payment, usually like in war times, back in these ancient times, if someone was caught in war, they're a prisoner or a slave, and if someone loved them, they'll pay a great price for their freedom, right? Well, we were a slave to sin, and Jesus loves us so much that he paid a ransom for us. Turn your Bibles to Mark 10, 45. Mark 10, verse 45. And it reads, and even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus left heaven because he loves us to come here, to be born, and to live a godly life following God, to teach us how to know God. And then he dies on the cross for our sins to pay for us. I mean, while we were sinners, he died and he paid that ransom for us. And this is another reason why he died for us, and why we need to carry this death in our hearts to be faithful to him, right? And in that faithfulness, he died for us to have to heal us spiritually, to have a good spiritual walk, to heal us spiritually, not only to forgive us of our sins. I mean, that the forgiveness of sins puts us right with God, but he wants us to continue to walk in faith. We know in Galatians there's a struggle between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh wants you to do all kinds of bad, wicked things, you know, constantly tagging at you. And the Spirit wants you to walk with Christ, right? And so God wants you to walk with him. So he wants you to be healed from sin, but he also wants you to have a faithful spiritual walk. And so when you look at 1 Peter 2:1, we can look at that transformation. So to be forgiven, but to transform our lives into a righteous one. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Okay. And this is what it reads. Who himself bore our sins, his own body on the tree, that we having died to sins, might live for having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. I mean, if you've seen the Passion of the Christ, it's kind of gives a depiction of the suffering he went through. I mean, he had this whip that was full of bones and glass, and they beat him and ripped him beyond recognition. And those stripes that he bore were for us. And that blood that was shed is for us. And so God wants us to remember that death. He wants us to transform our lives by staying in the Word, meditating on it, believing it, and having faith. And when we're tempted, you know, we need each other to stay drawing near to God and resisting Satan as he tempts us, but draw back to God and to encourage each other and use those spiritual weapons that we talked about in class. We have to have those. We've got to always be prepared because Satan's roaring around like a lion seeking who he can devour, and we got to be ready. We got to be ready. And so we know we're not perfect. I mean, God knows we're not perfect. We're flesh. We're made out of dirt, right? And so it goes back to that godly fear. When you fear him and you love him and you respect him, and you have faith in him and you repent, he'll forgive you. You know, we don't want to put him back on the cross. We got to learn, like David, I mean, he was a man after God's own heart, right? But we know that when he sinned, he didn't go back and do the same thing again and again. You know, he repented, recognized his sin, he put it behind him, and he moved forward. And we have to use that same example. When we sin, we have to remember that, you know, God will forgive us, but don't do it again. Learn from it. Yeah, I said, what did I learn? You know, because there's still consequences from it, right? We know Romans 3:23, we all sin. But Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So there's consequences for those sins, and we don't want those. So we have to be there to encourage each other. But at the same time, know that when you do make a mistake, and we all have, we're going to mess up every once in a while, his blood continues to cleanse us. So turn to 1 John 1:7. 1 John 1:7. Listen to this. But if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. But we have to stay walking in the light. When you make a mistake, you got to repent. Repent means be sorry, but, you know, instead of going south, go north. You know, turn the complete direction around and go back and do the right thing. And so we got to keep seeking God. And this was quoted during class too, Hebrews 11:6. You know, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? But those who believe that he is, you know, and seek him and recognize him, he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So we believe that he is, and we come to him, right? He's going to reward us as who diligently seeks him, not just seeks him, diligently. And we're going to keep on every single day being the scriptures. We got to be praying. We got to be faithful here in church, be involved in the worship, be involved in the different activities we have here. If it's SIL team or something else that there's being organized, let's be a part and support that so that we can have fellowship and encourage and be a part of this great Christian family. And again, I just want to encourage you to remember what Jesus did. You know, we were in a spiritual condition that was not good, and he died for us while we're sinners. You know, he atoned for those sins. He was obedient. Remember his obedience. We have to be obedient. Our sins were ransomed. He paid for that. And he wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to transform our lives. And he wants us to be faithful and to seek him. And he wants us to repent when we sin. And if you are a visitor tonight, you know, in conclusion here, if you're a visitor tonight and you've been studying with someone and you've been shared the gospel and you want to get baptized, you know, according to Acts 2:36 and 2:38, you know, if you you believe in Jesus and you repent of your sins, you can get baptized and your sins will be washed away, and God will give you the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2:47, we also know that God will add you to his son's church, the church of Christ, Jesus' church, his body. He adds, we don't. And if you're at that point and you need to be baptized, you can come up here and we can take care of that. And if you're a family member, a Christian, and you need to repent or you need prayer, please come up and we'll have someone pray for you as well. Again, the sort of song is, of invitation is number 760. And I thank you for your time this evening.